Welcome to the Hella Chingona podcast, where chingonas thrive. The idea is to create an ongoing conversation that uplifts through testimonio, our personal storytelling, in a way that brings folks together across space and time, anchored in sincerity, power, and community. I am your host, Rosana Alvarez, and I am super jazzed to kick it with y'all in beautiful conversation, sometimes with a guest, and other times, solita, solita, pero igual de cabroncita. In this episode, I tap into the pandemic archives and release a Flashback Friday conversation with the fabulous Claudia Fabian. And I'll go ahead and link to the profiles in the comments here. But Claudia needs no introduction. We'll hear about her story in listening to the segment and coming back and parking it here and releasing it to all y'all and revisiting the convo. There are so many gems, so many highlights, so many points of remembrance and connection. So I hope, like me, that you enjoy some of her journey here, shared so graciously in company, so patiently, but right on time, the way it needed to be. We're here with you today in all of your awesomeness, and I'm super happy that you agreed to let me, you know, put you through this experience and to share a little bit about you and your story. And I know you're a listener, so you already know what's coming. And the first question is the same question, because sometimes it's nice to see how the conversations fit together. Who are you and who do you carry?
So first, thank you for having me on here. I am excited for our plática because it's always a good time, especially when we have our iJava cafecito on the side. But I believe that who I am and who I am becoming is rooted from those that I carry. After taking the course Latina Life and Experience with you, and while taking up spaces such as in academia, I remind myself of those I carry more than before. And I notice it gives me more motivation and determination to leave a mark wherever I may be. So I would like to share that I carry my ancestors, my grandfather, who was a part of the Bracero program and came to the United States for a better life, and my mother, who has had to face barriers as a single mother to provide for her and her three daughters a better life while demonstrating strength, resilience, hardworking ethics, and all while sharing her love to her country, which is Oaxaca. So like to anybody she ever comes across with, she expresses her love. And so I would say that because of her, I carry my Oaxacaña roots very close to me. But those who I carry does not stop here. It's a whole village, literally. But I won't take too long. My sisters who have been like mothers to me since a young age, they have and continue to motivate me and have given me life, more life, through their children, who are my nephews and nieces, as well as my lifelong mentor, Eva, who began mentoring me at the age of 6 years old. And so since then, she has helped me with my English and has pushed me to see beyond my own belief of capabilities, because, you know, that imposter syndrome always kicks in. And as well as my uncles who have supported my academic and personal journey, and my good friend Salvador, who has helped me throughout my higher education time. And I'm almost done. I just don't want to forget anybody. I guess last but not least, the impactful professors like yourself who have taught me not just about the curriculum, but about myself and self-love. If you notice that 95% of the people who I carry are women, and the women that I've listed are strong, determined, outspoken, unapologetic, and empathetic. And so I guess overall, like a word that I would say that kind of goes with that is guerrera. And that's like, I've been influenced by you with that word. I'm like, yes, like I feel like people, a lot of the time, us women don't really like remind ourselves of that, or we kind of like assume that we're not a guerrera because we're not out there fighting a battle, but we really are, you know? At least in my perspective. And so overall, like, you know, they're the 90%, and the other 5% are the people, like they are the ones who support women like myself, who carry the people who carried me during my most exciting and not so exciting time. And so I guess to sum it all up, like who I am Claudia, a young Latina who is navigating life by growing through what I've personally faced in life, because lo que no te mata, te fortalece. And that's something that I've been learning this year. And also while carrying parts of those I carry with a dash of fabulous while embracing my inner and outer form of art.
Gorgeous. I didn't want to interrupt you because you were just vibing, but there were a few things that stood out. And one was, I feel like all of my friends who are from Oaxaca will be like, you know what? Oaxaca is its own country. Yes, it's in Mexico, but Oaxaca is its own country because you were like the country of Oaxaca. And I'm like, I know she knows what she meant. So I want to make sure the listeners are like, she knows she said it. So there's that because it's like, you know, it is like this place with beautiful culture and like so diverse and huge and central to Mexico's history that I know my Oaxaca homies are gonna like fist up when they hear that on that piece. And then when you said your uncles, right, and you're calling them out as at like 5% of folks who are a part of your story and your supports and it is important, right? Like that we elevate the voices of women and acknowledge how we impact each other. And immediately I thought of the first time you met my kids. And you were like, oh my God, your kids are here. Can I meet them? Can I take a picture with them? And they were like, who is this person? And I was like, yeah, sure, you know, that's good. 'Cause we in our classes, especially that Latina Lives and Experience class, it's a lot of testimonials. So, you know, I think sometimes we forget that there's that reciprocal impact that people have on each other. And my kids will still say, how's Claudia doing? And I'm like, oh, míralas. And so they notice how y'all exist in the world, right? And that even these limited interactions with these younger generations, that sometimes that leaves a mark and that it leaves a window for them to remember, you know, as much as I'm their mom, it's important for them to also have and see these very, 'cause I'm a real person to them. They know my name, but you know, it's like a different kind of thing to see other younger women out in the world doing their thing and for them to feel like that is obtainable and achievable and that they can exist just like you said unapologetically in their own spaces. But for you, your journey has been, it's a beautiful thing to see you kind of grow in your journey and be like, hey, so I was thinking that I wanted to be this. And I'm like, let me link you up with my sister. And then you went and did that thing. And next thing I know, I'm getting pictures of you making tortillas on an elementary school campus, you know, getting ready for in case you decide to be a principal someday. And so it's just, I'm like, yes, I could see your story unfolding in so many ways. But if you wouldn't mind, I know normally I tell people I don't want to hear about your work, but your work is like in a different domain, because you are activating like who you are in those spaces. So you've been doing a few exciting things in the world that you may be getting paid for, you may not be getting paid for, but you got like all of these video rollouts coming out on social media. You've been a part of a lot of movement on campus for first gen students. I will let you talk about those pieces, because they're important, right? They're the things that get us to all these fancy titles, and they're fancy in and of themselves.
Yes,
So
very, very true. Thank you, thank you. I definitely see that this past year has definitely been a year of growing and learning. And so I'm still like learning, but I feel like I'm soaking my feet into like little things because I want to try everything out right now, especially right now during quarantine, because I'm like, what else do I have to do? And so I just want to say that, like, I guess my fire got lit up during my time at De Anza, when I took impactful classes like yours, and I was like, hey, I want to like get myself out there, and so by joining communities, my first community that I remember and I hold like near me is Mecha. I feel like a lot of young Chicano Latinx people can definitely relate to that. And so that has pushed me to continue taking up spaces into institutions such as like Berkeley. You know, going there, I had a cultural shock because I'm like, you know, for so long I've been told that like I don't belong in these spaces. By people in academia, like especially in my grade school. And so going there, I was like, I want to do something and leave a mark, but it's pretty hard because like there's a lot of people who also want to do that. And so I just kind of go in with my own self because I'm my only self. And so there, it's a little bit more challenging, but I guess I started also like being a literacy mentor, and so by doing that, I've helped kids, you know, see their own capabilities and their own strengths, and help them with things that they are struggling with, but more like focused on like their literacy, and so that has helped me as a person to be more patient, to be because working with kids, oh my gosh, I cannot. At first I was like,
That's
oh,
why
I don't
I
know if I
stick
could
to
do
the grown-ups. Yep, that's why I'm like, give me the grown-ups, thank you.
that. Yes. But I also, you know, like they remind me that it's okay to be unfiltered, you know, like they say whatever they want to say, and I'm like, I need to be like that too sometimes, you know, like because a lot of the times I'm like, I don't want to say it because I'm gonna feel uncomfortable, or then I'm gonna feel bad, but I'm like, well, I'm just gonna say it because if nobody says it, then are they gonna really know?
Right.
And so I do that, and so like I've learned from them just as much as they've learned from me, and you know, even just being a student, I'm learning a lot of things. Like I'm a first gen, so I was in community college for 4 years, and for people that could be a really long time. But for me, I personally enjoyed my time there because it allowed me to have trial and error, and it has allowed me to navigate school. And so now when my nieces and nephews go to college, I can help them, and maybe they won't take that long as I did, or if they do, then it's all part of the process. And So, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm going off on a different tangent.
It's
I'm trying to
fine. It's
get back.
fine. We'll bring you back. I think it's this, right? Like it's in line with what you were sharing in the beginning, and it's that taking up space authentically and surrounding yourselves with that childlike energy reminds you to be, you know, that honesty is okay. Because when we're learning how to navigate our journey, there's always ideas about what that's supposed to look like. And so I hear you saying, my journey didn't look like what it's supposed to look like. And maybe I even took a little bit, quote, longer than you're supposed to take in a community college. And that those are things that could have discouraged you. And you were like, well, it's where I'm at. And it's who I am. And it's how I'm getting from point A to point B and all the way to Z, if you will. But I hear you saying, you know, not everybody's journey looks the same. Not everybody's way of taking up space even sounds the same. And for you, I think one of the things that stands out in terms of where you are now is a lot of us learn that in order to succeed, we kind of always have to be performing to some degree what success looks like. And you're kind of saying, well, I'm taking a cue from the kids and I'm saying, let's simplify some things and approach each other with some honesty. While also knowing that that's not the culture of spaces like these, you know, high caliber academic institutions. It's not the culture of certain workspaces. And so I hear you kind of just being like, I'm getting ready, right? Like a guerrera, I'm getting ready.
Yes.
So
Tell me why
it's
I'm getting ready.
related.
Tell me like why when you're saying that, like I'm getting ready, I'm just like envisioning myself, looking at myself in the mirror and like getting ready because I think it's been marinating, and so I'm still marinating if I say so myself. And so after with working with the kids, I'm like I want to also help prospective college students. And so when I started off my YouTube channel, I was more so like, well, I know I want to do like YouTube videos, but I don't know exactly what. So my YouTube video has like different types of content, but I share some like insightful things like about Cal, and so I also plan to do like videos for community college students because I was one of them. And I didn't know how to navigate that, as well as also make a video for parents because my mom was one to always be, when are you gonna finish? Like, you're taking so long. And I would be frustrated because I'm like, mom, like, it's not like Mexico where, it's like 2 years, I think, and then you're like done with like you get your bachillerato or your título. Like, it's not like that. And so, it wasn't until when I transitioned that when I went to San Francisco State to get a tour, they broke down how the like higher education works here, and my mom was like, "Whoa, oh my gosh, I am so sorry that I was constantly on you." And so I'm like, I felt so relieved.
It's that ay Dios mío realization. It's like, yes. Yeah, our system out here calls on us in certain ways. A little bit of a broken kind of way, but you know, we're stuck with it for now. I do see your YouTube video, and then it kind of for me bleeds into what you're doing on your shorter videos and social media, right? And I'm seeing you still kind of prep, like, man, this is the stuff I wish I would have known, and making it easy and making it more accessible. And so yeah, you're talking about first gen stuff. You're talking about things that might be helpful to navigate with your parents along this journey, because we know in Latino families, you're grown. Like I'm grown, and my parents are still chiming in, right? They're learning how to not chime in so much these days, but it is very much a part of a lot of cultures, you know, that you don't just separate from your parents. And I think that's important. And then I see you doing some kind of your own journey with fitness and body positivity. And, you know, that is an important part of college life también, because you get there and you're like, wow, did all these people come here like for personal trainers? Like, what is happening? And so it's like you're already like sticking out when you're just showing up with brown hair into an ocean of, you know, not brown hair. So
before I get off on a tangent, I'm like, let's anchor ourselves back in that because I see your story unfolding and I'm thinking, hella chingona status, right? So the next question I like to ask folks is, how do you define a hella chingona? And as much as I see you not just aspiring, but already there in your chingonaness, I am curious to hear how you break it down.
Well, personally, I feel that every woman is a chingona in their own way. I don't see, like, if I were to look up on Google and, look up chingona, I don't think there's like a defined way. I mean, there is, but I personally see that every woman faces their own journey or, and their own barriers differently. And for me, I feel like every woman is a chingona. But personally, for me, I see myself being a chingona because, no matter what I've been through in life, I somehow managed to get pull myself out of there. Whether it's me crying because chingonas do cry, and I am one to say, "Cry, girl," because that does not make you any less weak, at all. And I also want to say, like, no matter like what gender you are, I think it's always good to cry because it's a way of healing, and healing also comes with being a chingona, in my own lens again. And also because, like, now that I'm doing this fitness, I'm like, yeah, it feels hella good to feel good internally. And I'm like, this is my body, and I feel hella chingona. My internal self is like, I'm feeling hella good. So I would say that just being chingona is you living, because like I said, everybody faces their own obstacles, their own way.
Yeah, and the more you can get yourself ready to be all guerrera and chingona in the world, right? The better equipped you are to deal with whatever comes your way, whether it's in the professional setting or at home or with any one of these institutions that weren't built for us, for sure.
Yes. I also want to say too, real quickly, that the reason why I say that everybody can be chingona is because the women in my family all have different types of jobs. And whether it's, being a stay-at-home mother or being a janitorial person or even being a scholar like myself, we are all chingonas in one way. And so a lot of the times people think, oh, if you are, just at home, then you're not really chingona. But I'm like, wait, hold up. Like, what are they doing inside their home? Or what are they doing in their janitorial position? Just because, just because they don't have like hold a title or anything of some sort does not make them any less. And so that's why I say that everybody can be, well, is a chingona. So I just wanted to add that.
For sure, I agree. It reminds me actually of I was moderating for this plática that I'm also helping co-coordinate, and it was a beautiful panel of Latina voices. Oh my God, everybody had an amazing story, and there was no way that we were going to fit all of those stories in there. And so it's like, well, let's do justice by the topic that we kind of chose to build this presentation around, and also do right by the women who took the time to talk about their stories and who they carry with them. And some people in the audience didn't understand, and it wasn't the entire audience, right? But there's always like one or two people that, for me, I notice things, and I think it's because my lens is always like on in freaking racial analysis, and I'm like, y'all need to sit down sometimes. Like, it's not okay for you to unmute yourself and literally stand up and interrupt the presentation because you have a question, because you feel you're entitled to do that. And but one of the questions from this audience member was along the lines of like, well, there are a few things. It was like the chat, what she was saying from her mouth, and then what I was reading all over the coded interaction right here. And she might have been an ally, right? But I think people overlook exactly what you just said, and that's that Chingonas come from so many spaces in life, not just the ones we're used to associating with a certain level of success. And that you can be successful and be like, I'm a mom, and that is where I define success. And I think that a lot of us forget the value that that has. Or to be like a working mechanic or a janitor, even as women, that is amazing just to do on the daily in a space that, isn't dominated by women. So my point with this little tangent is a lot of times people don't understand, well, how come you guys don't just give us, or how come you women don't just give us, or how come you folks don't just give us a history? Like start in, I don't know, 1920, and take me up to 2020 and give me a timeline of these fierce women. And I'm like, because señora, como que eso no nos va a hacer justicia, right? Like, where's my grandmother in that story? And I know she was fierce AF, a little more fierce than some of these women whose bios I have had to memorize, right? So this little tangent brought to you by my rumbling to be like, I hear you so much. And it's hopeful because I feel like y'all of the younger generation grasp that a little bit more intensely, to the point where, a lot of us in that panel were like, oh, I didn't even notice. And I'm like, oh, I noticed, but also I noticed because I teach this stuff, right? And I teach the framing of exactly what you got to the heart of. And it's, if we're going to acknowledge Hella Chingona, it's independent of job titles and degrees. It helps us to have those things, right? So I'm like, if that's success for you, get it and make sure that we surround ourselves with women and energy and, supporters who are going to help us get it. Because for every person that's helping us through and giving us life, there's so much stacked against us in these weird ways. And sometimes it's not even personal, but we feel it in a very personal way. So I am a huge fan of how you're putting your own work together along the journey in your own becoming as you already are. The last question, and this might take us off in a few different directions, right? Is what legacy do you hope to leave behind in the world? And I feel like you've kind of given a glimpse of that, but I don't want to insert words into your mouth. And I always love asking folks this question because a lot of us, walk the world in a very humble way. And it almost feels like we're battling ourselves when we're like, oh, I want to leave a legacy. But that we're also very intentional in how we take up space unapologetically and authentically. And that's already a legacy. So I always love asking this question. What legacy do you hope to leave behind? Or what legacy are you building in the here and now?
Ooh, oh my gosh, that's so deep. But I guess right now, the legacy that that I would want to leave, or that I'm trying to, is to be your true self and pursue what makes you happy, whether that's something academically or personally. Like, throughout time, I am like, I mean, now I'm still learning who I am, but also focus on your own self, because during my this weight loss, or like this fitness journey that I've been on, I had the opportunity to like really think. Prior to this, I was focusing a lot of my mental and emotional health, but not really ever on my physical. And so I am one to always embrace the body that I am in. And, I also tell everybody else, embrace that body that you have, because, it's ours and it's a form of art. And so instilling that into people to, walk out of your door unapologetically with what you want to wear, whether it's, showing off a little bit of your belly, do it, like, or guys, like if they want to like walk out of their house with like no shirt, pero tienen su pancita, like do it. Okay, like all power to you. Like I want to see people embrace themselves. So I guess that's the legacy that I want to leave, that be yourself, love yourself, oh, like choose you when, like as much as you can. I'm not saying all the time, just because, you know, eventually people like myself, I will become a mother, hopefully. And so I know that I'm not always going to 100% put myself, but I will remind myself to put myself first too. I don't know if you wanted to add into there. I heard like a little brief.
Oh, because it's like the struggle, right? Like, how do you find time for yourself? And right now for pandemic time, I think that's a struggle for a lot of folks. Moms are not, right? So I'm like, yeah. And in my growing upness, it was always a criticism to put yourself first. And I remember my mom's gonna slap me later if she ever listens to this. I know my dad listens sometimes, but it would be like, you care about yourself too much. And it was always a judgment. And I was always like, well, who else is gonna? There's like so many kids in this house that I have to help take care of. And so I kind of need to sometimes put myself first. Like I remember my little kid brain just thinking that. And I know that in my grown-up brain, I struggle with that. And so part of what I am always having to do is remind myself, yeah, it's okay to put myself first. And even though I have kids of my own, you know, I can't do anything for them if I myself am not well. And I can fake the funk for as long as possible, but it's going to crumble if I don't take some pockets of time to do that. So I think that's where my like, oh, came from. While you were talking right there, because I'm like, yes. And that's what I'm saying, right? Like, there's this reciprocity. Like, for as much as you have said several times, like about my class or, you know, just our conversations, the cafecitos in real life, that, you know, it's a reciprocal thing. And I always feel like, you know, folks who connect to me in that way never owe me anything because there's an exchange happening. And sometimes when y'all are learning some stuff, we get to learn it alongside with you, and it's very healing, you know. So carry on, because I'm vibing with what you're saying, and I'm like, get it, girl, get it.
Yeah, you know, especially I feel like in our Mexican Latinx culture, it's a norm for women to, you know, put others first. And so as a little girl, like even now, you know, my uncles are like, you've always been brusca, and like they laugh because they weren't ever they weren't ever, I think, used to that. And so they're like, you just demanded things. And I was like, you know, I'm like, well, who taught me that? Because obviously somebody has to teach me that. And so, you know, I think one person can definitely influence the culture of one's own family. And so I personally feel that like I'm trying to teach my little nieces that you know, we should put ourselves first as women, and also teaching my nephews like, hey, you know, like y if you have a girlfriend, or you know, they also have the right to, you know, speak their minds and to be themselves and to have dreams and so forth. And so by seeing me do that, I think both of my nieces and nephews see like, oh, okay, like you know, putting w ourselves first could look like this. And so I think it's always good to put ourselves first. So that's the legacy that I definitely want to put out there, that we should love who we are and always take time for us in some way or another. But going back to like your curriculum, it wasn't until taking your, I think it was the Chicano Arte class where I was like, class where I was like, hold on, she's like not just saying these words, you know, like not like with any intention. She's saying this with some kind of intention. So my brain had to like, actually process things and think, because a lot of the times professors nomads, like, they just talk, like they're just reading off the book. But you, I was like, no, she's saying this because there's a purpose behind this. And so when I think you assigned us to watch a movie, and you gave us a list of a whole bunch of Chicano movies to watch, I saw Real Women Have Curves, and I was like, okay, like, how is art, being contributed into this? And so, I really had to think, because I'm like, she's a girl who wants to go to college, but her family, like her mom, doesn't really support it, or something like that. And I'm like, so where's art? Like, I'm not literally seeing any art. So then I was like, wait, she's talking about her body too. And she's talking about, like, putting herself first. And so that's, I think, where my stem of self-love grew, where I was like, ooh, okay, girl, I'm about to, like, this is about to change, because I haven't ever really focused much on myself and the body that I'm in. For so long, people have been like, oh, you're like gorda, or like, you're, if you were to lose this, like, this amount of weight, you would look good, girl. Or like, like, we have those tias that are like that. And or just people out in the streets that just look at you because I'm one to always wear shorts, and people will look at me because I would wear shorts. I'm like, well, is like, what's wrong with me wearing shorts, and so, like, that stemmed me into being unapologetic of my body, and where I'm like telling even my sisters, I'm like, girl, embrace the body you are in because it's sexy. And they're like, what? Ew, like, what? And I'm like, dude, it's your body. It's beautiful. You've birthed kids, dude. You've given life through it. And so, your class and just that assignment alone, look what it's done to me and my thoughts.
And
So,
here I was thinking that the making you make tortillas for the other class was what prepared you for life, because that's a funny story. And I'm being a little bit sarcastic here, but I remember when I did that in class, people were like, "The hell?" And I'm like, "Oh, trust it." And it was about, pedagogy at the end of the day. But then it ended up actually being applicable to your real life. It was so funny because you had said, I'd be curious to shadow a principal for the day. And I was like, oh, I got you, right? And so you ended up being over at my sister's school, who was the principal there for an elementary. And then that's why I'm saying it was hilarious when you were like, you were not lying with the life lessons. And there you were on an elementary campus shadowing for a principal, making tortillas. And I was like, that was not in the plan. But yes, that was not in the plan. But yes. And it's kind of
that's
like
crazy.
those. That's so crazy. And my sister didn't know. She didn't know I'd do this with y'all in class. So that was the even crazier part. But and it's like all of these interesting interwoven adventures, right? And I think a lot of that is by way of how much we bring into the space that we give ourselves permission to authentically be ourselves while also continuing to reflect on what that means for ourselves and others. And I think there's something about how you talk about your legacy of putting yourself first, is that for a lot of people, it's easy to misinterpret that as, oh, so what you're saying is be selfish. And it's like, well, no, because we, are very used to being selfless and always caring for so many people that when you put yourself first, it's not that then everybody else, nos vale. It's that you're acknowledging you got to take care of yourself so that you can sustainably, take care of others in a way that isn't just a drain or a burden. And it helps us really stay more than resilient, right? Like when we put ourselves first, it helps us figure out how some of our own journey connects. It helps us figure out how to show up intentionally in the world. And so I really appreciate that you're like tapping into this part of your story in a way that for as much as you are like, yes, I'm putting myself first, there's all these ripple effects of what kind of impact that has for people around you, you know, in both directions, whether it be younger or older. And you know, even as you're talking about your sisters, that they're also learning from you, right? And then your nieces and nephews are learning from you. And I think as much as we do frame everything like, you know, boys and girls, by this horrible habit that we have in society, the starting point of reminding people to show up as themselves, it makes it more of a compassionate, welcoming space for those moments when, you know, we come to those realizations that it's also more than boys and girls. And that stuff's complicated. So we can have people here all day listening to us. And I could be, you know, on the line with you all day because it's always a beautiful conversation. But we do have to call it at some point. And before we do, I want to make sure that you have some time and some space to just share any lingering thoughts or any closing remarks that you would like with our audience. And I would also encourage you, if you're comfortable doing this, letting folks know how they can connect with you beyond the podcast, if you're open to that.
Yes, for sure. I first thank you so much for giving me the time to have this amazing plática with you. It, like you said, it's a really good time, and I know that you and I could literally talk for like 3 hours. But before leaving, I do want to share my poem because whenever I am feeling I guess not so much of myself, or I just need a reminder to be a chingona, I read my poem. And so, if that's okay, I'd like
Oh,
to
perfectly.
share.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Loving yourself is resistance. How can you be resistant when society believes thin is beautiful? People and doctors look at me and label me big, even if I lose 20 pounds. I turn to my mirror and voices flood through my head. Big, gorda, thick, nalgona, and cow. I quickly stop myself. I take a moment to reflect. Who is really insecure? Me for being happily big? Or those worshiping the Eurocentric standards. I'm as curvaceous as a mountain. I am as round as Mother Earth, yet you cannot resist my gravitational pull. People stare. My body grabs their attention. They stare. I stare. I remind myself to be kind. Don't fall back into the cycle. I am fucking beautiful. If I believe I am big, I am no longer resistant. I remind myself to be kind. There is no such thing as a better body than yours. Art comes in different shapes and forms. It is a continuous change. Every body has the right to take space. My body, your body, is a form of art. Embrace it. This is the time to change. Be resistant. Be kind. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. Tell yourself, I love myself. I am a brown, beautiful, curvaceous woman. I love myself. I am resistant.
Thanks for listening to the Hella Chingona podcast. Remember to show us some love by subscribing and following the podcast at hellachingona.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching for Hella Chingona Podcast. That's HellaChingona Podcast. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so drop us a comment or simply share the podcast with a friend.